I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. This is the Beyond the Mouse podcast, the podcast all about Disney from the Front Row Network. My name is Craig, and I am here tonight with my lovely co-host, first, the Fergie Ferg, Vanessa Ferguson herself.
Man, that's my rap name. How'd you know?
Yeah, I know because I see your name on your screen.
Oh, I thought it was because you bought the album. Well, all right then.
Did you record London Bridge? Was that you?
That was me. Yes, it was. Yep.
Okay, great. Great. And we're also joined by Brett Rutherford. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. How are you?
You know, I'm just doing great. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we have a lot to accomplish in this episode. This is coming straight to you on our feed-only episode. So thanks for subscribing and make sure you tell all the other Disney fans out there. But what we're going to do today is a little bit less conventional. We're going to talk a bit about what's going on in some of our Disney lives. And then we're going to talk about what's going on at the company as a whole and update you on a few pieces of news, especially one that broke this afternoon that is kind of a humongous deal. So we'll definitely talk about that here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, Brett, you have been to the world since we last spoke.
I know.
Technically, we did our Oscar episode, but you know, we had Brandon on with that. We had to be really classy because Brandon was on. So now, yes. Brett, tell me all about your trip back in December to Walt Disney World.
Okay, let's see. So my Walt Disney World vacation highlights. I had a great time.
What?
I was just saying, in as few words as possible, how are you?
I know. How are you in as few words? Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to give you the quick rundown. Maybe there will be a solo version podcast coming sometime too with a trip review. I was so inspired by Vanessa's. If you hadn't heard it already, go back and listen because her August trip vacation highlight was awesome. So anyway, but back to mine. It's all about me. Back to me. Okay. So list in no real order. Well, kind of, sort of. Disney Skyliner was awesome. I enjoyed it very much. I had great dining on the Disney dining plan. Got to go to Artist Point and did the storybook dining with Snow White. I had some reservations. Ha ha. That's a joke. Because I so much loved Artist Point before. Well, it was two credits and it was an expensive evening, and it was two dining credits. But now it's one dining credit, and you still get your classic mushroom bisque, which I enjoyed. But it's like this teeniest, tiniest little cauldron. So you have two spoonfuls and call it a soup experience. Okay, there are shared appetizers. I had Bashful's Butter Poached Sustainable Fish. And Vanessa, you're going to love this. I finished my dinner. The plate was practically clean.
That's not true. That's pretty good.
I will share a picture with you. Yes. And then there are shared desserts, which were cute. Okay. And then Grumpy, Dopey, and Snow White were there to take pictures. And then there was an opportunity to have a photo session with the Wicked Queen. And
the evil
she was wicked.
Queen.
Sorry, evil? Oh, well, I'm just going to look that up. But anyway, the evil queen.
Does she call herself the evil queen, or is it just
well,
the queen
Well, she was
there?
Wicked. She worked it, and she loved me because, oh, yeah, because I worked it. I worked it. Well, you're summoned. That's the other thing. You're given a card, and you are summoned to her presence. So that was kind of fun. So I did a bow, and she acknowledged me. And then I went up, and I leaned over to her, and I said, if you're ever in need of a hunter, I will not bring back the heart of a pig. And she said, this man is always welcome in my kingdom, which I'm like going, score. That was cool.
Did you just tell her that you're going to rip someone's heart out? Is that what you said?
I'll do what I need to. I'm like going, I'm not going to bring the heart of a pig. I had to, you know, I had to gain my good graces with, you know, the evil/wicked queen. And I did. It was fun. She loves me. Anyway, I'm a big hit. And let's see, other Disney favorite restaurants. I did go to Disney Springs and Chef Art Smith's Homecoming and had their brunch, which was exceptional. And then in Disney Springs had a polite pig. So had some appetizers and had their cookie, which they only make, I don't know, 100 a day or something like that. And we lucked out and got that. Let's see, other Disney favorites. Oh, Bon Voyage breakfast at Trattoria El Forno, which is the character breakfast with Ariel and Prince Eric and Rapunzel and Flynn. The meal was really good. I had Ursula's Cauldron, I think that's what it was called. So it was a really good breakfast. And there was a recurring theme throughout all, most of my meals were crispy onions, and they were amazing. Okay. The other thing is, just to let you know, if you're ever out there and it's a big opening weekend for a Disney slash Pixar slash Star Wars movie, it just so happened that Star Wars Rise of Skywalker opened when I was there, and we got tickets to the AMC Dolby Cinema, which was a really cool experience. It's like three stories tall and has like 147 speakers, and it was great. Another thing that I did, it's almost done. Anyway, went to the Disney After Hours at the Disney Animal Kingdom, which was really good because eating ice cream when it's cold is not as bad as you might think. And I'm like going, so I had plenty of treats. And the real cool thing was going on Flights of Passage multiple times, like in a row. We had to leave the queue and come back in. We did never ask. I don't, but he probably still had to do that. So we did that. And then the big awesome thing at this vacation was Galaxy's Edge Rise of Resistance, which I must say, there are no words, and it's worth whatever it takes to get there and to try to get in. And patience is probably the best thing you can take with you on that experience, but it's well worth it. And that was my vacation. Thank you.
And we inserted into our wrap-up of 2019 your audio from right after you came off of Rise of the Resistance.
Yes.
So make sure that you go back and listen to that. But it just sounds like you had such a fun time and just a really cool experiences all around. There's so many new things coming.
There's so many new things.
You know, even someone like Brett, who has been at Disney World a ton, worked there for a long time, even you get to go back and experience all these new things all of the time. Because that's what's great about it, is that there's so many opportunities for so many different restaurants and things like that that you just, you know, you couldn't hardly hit them all. It'd be almost really impossible unless you're living in the area. Yes. But let's change gears a little bit and let's go into some news because I wanted to just sort of talk about some items that have been bubbling up. And it's funny, we were going to record this earlier today and ended up that we didn't do that. And it's funny because it's like the fates have aligned for us, because about 2 hours after we would have recorded, we got some news. So at that point, there was a press release sent out right around 4 o'clock this afternoon that Bob Iger is going to step down as Disney CEO effective immediately. And now
he's not the CEO anymore. That's done.
Crazy. So it's not as big of a split. So immediately when you read just that headline, your mind goes a million different ways. But let me read some of the key points to this. So I'm reading this off of a CNBC article. I think that they are the ones that at least got their story up the quickest. It seems like Disney sent this to a lot of media outlets when they released their press release. But here are some of the key takeaways. Disney announced Tuesday that CEO Bob Iger will step down from the role and become executive chairman through 2021, effective immediately. Now, 2021 is when his contract was due to end. Bob Chapek, who most recently served as chairman of Disney Parks Experiences and Products, will assume the role as CEO. And Iger plans to stay with the company through 2021 and focus on Disney's creative strategy throughout the remainder of his tenure. So my understanding, at least from listening a bit to the conference call that they did later on in the day, and thank you, Brett, for providing that. It seems like they're really, maybe more so than even since like a Frank Wells, Michael Eisner split, they are taking one person is going to be sort of the chief creative officer and the other person is going to be the chief financial and business officer. So lots that we can talk about here. I'm sure that even Disney fans don't necessarily know the name Bob Chapek that well. You've likely seen him before because he does a lot of presentations at D23. He's been with the company for a long time. But Brett, do you want to start us off with some of your reaction to this news?
Well, it was interesting how fast the reaction, shall we say, from the Disney fan community happened. I think it was just such a shock that you got a lot of knee-jerk reactions. But since that time, since it's been a couple of hours since that announcement, actually, I checked with some of my Disney friends who might have a little bit more information or insider information. But it seems as though that this has been in the works for a long time. He's wanted to retire, and this is just the announcement that he's still there. They will remain anonymous sources, but basically they were saying that it was time and he's been ready to retire for several years. No scandal, no hallway whispers, just time. I thought that was good. I checked with another friend of mine because I said surprised, and that person said surprised, yes, and no. I love being a Hollywood insider and get such good scoop. Yes and no.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I mean, if you think about it, they extended his contract a bunch of times at this point because there was speculation. There was speculation he may have entered the Democratic primary not that long ago. So they were saying that maybe he was going to leave and then run for president. So it definitely makes sense. What's weird about it is the effective immediately thing. And I guess I don't know enough about business where. And Brett, you're waving your hand, so you might have some insight into this, but maybe I just don't know enough about business as to why you wouldn't have at least a bit of a transition. Now, granted, Bob Iger is still there, and technically, because he's the chairman of the board still, Bob Chapek is reporting to Bob Iger still, at least from board hierarchy and how all that works. So, but Brett, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it makes sense, actually, because I think they needed to make it rather a dramatic exit just so they could have a starting and stopping point. Also, probably my guess is just a feeling with Bob Iger. He just came off of being the CEO during a multi-billion-dollar film year, and he has an amazing history and amazing track record with Disney, and because of world events, coronavirus, other things, the coronavirus has basically put a stop to both Shanghai Disneyland and Hong Kong Disneyland. So that and other things that could be have a questionable bottom line effect on Disney stock. It certainly makes sense that he'd want to go out on top, and he has now. The other thing is that I'm sure that he does care for the company. He has been there for some time, and he's made quite a nice life for himself in retirement as well. But I think that this transition period, which is basically about 2 years, allows for a very easy transfer. And it does put kind of the responsibility on Chapek rather than just giving him piecemeal until they think he's ready for it. So they think he's ready for it. I think it was actually a very smart move.
Vanessa?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, and we won't know until another one of those juicy Disney books comes out that tells us the behind the scenes. You know, it could have been multiple things. It could have been Bob Iger wanting to leave when he's on top. It could have been a shareholder thing where they didn't want it to be up for discussion or have negative feedback. It's already been decided. It could have been, reading Bob Iger's book, he had really good mentors that believed in him. And maybe this is his way of showing Bob Chapek that he believes in him and he's passing the baton, as opposed to when Bob Iger was kind of forced to be the interim CEO for lack of a better, title, for Michael Eisner. And, Michael Eisner, they didn't really want him there, but they let him keep on the payroll and with his title. And it sounded like sounded like a very awkward transition. So maybe Bob Iger just didn't want to do that to his predecessor, to the person coming in. Maybe he wanted to have a better experience for him. So who knows? I'm sure we'll find in a really delightfully juicy book. If it's not juicy, I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
And maybe that is it, you know, reading both Disney Wars, which is a great book if you want to read about some of the company, especially in the Eisner years, but then also reading Bob Iger's autobiography, it does talk about how rough that transition was, because essentially the board had all but dismissed Eisner, and they made Iger apply for the job. And Iger was like, you need to either give this to me, or you need to let me know so I can leave with some kind of dignity here. Because Iger was thought of as maybe Eisner's too close to Eisner for the board. So, so I could see that being a great point that you bring up, that, you know, maybe he just didn't want that to happen for Chapek. And now they've got a little bit of a transition. They've already come out with statements that they believe in their leadership. All of the board has done that. So maybe he wanted to really make sure that, where his tenure got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, that Chapek's tenure, does not do the same. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, because it's possible that maybe this is creating a path where Chapek will be more of the business manager of the company. And there still might be some room for more creative people to be involved as well. I think one of the biggest parts of the fan community, one of the biggest backlashes, is that the parks themselves, the last few years, attendance is starting to dip a bit. Galaxy's Edge rollout wasn't thought of as maybe a perfect landing there. Maybe they rushed it a bit. And had they waited for Rise of the Resistance and Smuggler's Run to be out, I think that Galaxy's Edge would have just completely blown everyone away immediately. And then there's also the idea of customer service. And I know that a lot of people complain that park customer service from cast members has gone down over the years. Part of that is relying too much on the college program and not enough on full-time cast members. And those are some decisions that Bob Chapek made as head of the Disney parks. And so I think that that's why the fan community is going to take some getting used to. But maybe because he's not seen as such a creative individual as some of the other CEOs in the past have been, coming more from the television and film side of things, maybe that leaves open the opportunity for someone in a couple of years to fill that creative void.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because having
I hope so. Well, I hope so. I did read some criticism of Chapek and how he has really pushed forward on the profits. But that sometimes comes at the expense of the customers. One thing I read was like they push more kids merchandise, but got rid of the adult merchandise. And he really pushed Frozen so that it was oversaturated. And you know, it always worries me a little bit because Walt was so much about quality. Mm-hmm. And had the experience, and he wasn't as always concerned with the bottom line. And I really hope that they put a good team together under Chapek's leadership, that he isn't so consumed with the financial aspect and doesn't forget how that company started.
Yeah, you know, there's not many corporations that have such a large fan base like Disney does, and just have adapted it into their lifestyle. I mean, you could probably maybe Apple is sort of like that. There's maybe a couple of other companies out there, but what makes Disney different is that it's connected to that storytelling and that creativity and the drive for childlike wonder. And that doesn't necessarily come from someone that's only looking at the bottom line. And even people have really criticized Bob Iger for being too much of a bottom line CEO as well. He made some amazing acquisitions, but I think it would be good to get some storyteller in there, some creative executive, and we'll see where that goes. But still lots of other things to cover. So I know that was the biggie for tonight, but want to get through a couple of other stories for you as well. We found out late last week that the castle is getting a makeover. So Cinderella's castle, and it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Looks beautiful from the concept art. But it's kind of like a rose gold finish on the actual castle. And then the turrets will be trimmed in all gold. And this is supposed to be done this summer. So it's going to be a pretty quick process. I mean, I guess you're just painting the gal, right? So maybe it doesn't take that long to do, but
if they mess up, they can always roll out that giant inflatable pink birthday cake. They've probably got storage somewhere.
No, they cannot. They cannot. Right. I think they know that would not be a good thing.
That is right.
I was there when they started to paint it, and I'm like going, and they started with the back of the castle, and they probably had meetings. Really pink? But they went ahead with it. So
yep. They sure did. They really did. So this is, of course, for the 50th anniversary, but it looks really nice from the concept drawings. Vanessa, why don't you tell me your opinion of it, and then we'll go to Brett.
I think it looks beautiful. It's so fancy. It's got gold trim. I mean, I try to wear everything I have in gold trim, and it's going to look beautiful. It's going to be great for the 50th anniversary. I've been really kind of looking for this announcement because I anticipated that they would be doing something to celebrate, and I'm just glad we got to find this out before the next D23. So that's kind of exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Brett.
Well, I think, you know, they've redone the Disneyland Castle a number of times. They've done it for each of the different 50th year celebration. Well, the big years, they did it for 50th. It had an overlay for 60th. It had an overlay. So it's time that Cinderella's Castle at Walt Disney World gets spruced up for a very special event too. And I think Absolutely. It looks gorgeous. So, yeah.
It does. It's going to look really, really cool, especially when the sun hits it just the right way. It's going to be just absolutely stellar. Not much I can add there. I'm really excited for it. It is going to probably require some scaffolding on the castle, and I know that is worrisome for some families that plan that once-in-a-lifetime trip. But, you know, you just can't really – they can't – ever win in that situation. You know, there's always going to be something under construction. Most of Epcot right now is under construction. But that's what we get for wanting to make sure that things are ever evolving and not stagnant. They have to do this at some point. So I'm sure they'll do most of the actual work at night. And so you won't actually see like painters up there painting the castle in the middle of the day. But, there likely would still be some scaffolding, things like that, around the castle.
Actually, I read today that they plan to do it in plain sight. So it might be during the day because they have such a very quick time frame. Well, the other thing is, Vanessa, your first experience of Disneyland was not seeing the Disneyland Castle. It was seeing the pretty scrim that went in front of it that looked like the castle.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
And you survived. You survived.
Well, almost, because I almost died, because instead of going through the castle to get to Peter Pan, we had to run around the castle, yes. And those marathoners are crazy. But
it was crazy, yes.
I didn't actually see I've yet to see that castle in Disneyland, mm-hmm. but you'll live.
Like a transition was born out of thin air, Brett Rutherford leading us down the trail, maybe parading us along to our next story, because we're talking about Magic Happens, the new parade to debut at Disneyland, because I've never been there before, and these two will likely remind you of that fact. I'm going to let them take the lead. Brett, tell me all about Magic Happens. It's coming out on February 28th, which is this Friday.
For us, yes, recording right now. And starting February 28th, Disneyland Park will welcome Magic Happens. It's the first new daytime parade in nearly a decade. Wow. The other one had some staying power. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, really cool. I mean, Mickey is in it, and Anna and Elsa and Olaf and Coco. There's a Coco unit.
I do Kristoff's love Coco. In it.
Yeah.
All your favorites.
It's kind of here. Like it's kind of actually, there seems to be a little bit of a throwback to some of the classics as well as the more recent Disney films too. So that's very nice. And great. Thank you, Disneyland, for doing that. Remembering everyone who came before you. So how cool.
Well, and the vault is busted, man. We have them all on Disney Plus. So like my son is cruising through all those classics, and it's really cool. Awesome. To be able to experience that all over again. So
actually we have a Central Illinois performer, Christy Wilhelm, who's married now, and it's I so messed up that name even when I was reading it, but anyway, Christy's going to be there, And she's, I don't know if she's opening day, but she is performing this Saturday. So we can all watch it on YouTube and experience everything that is magic happens. But it looks, the floats look great. The music was by,
Todrick Hall.
Yeah. Todrick Hall.
Yeah, I love Todrick Hall.
And former Disney cast member, Walt Disney, Disney Studios. Yeah. So we know people who know him. How exciting is that? So, but the floats look really cool. The costuming. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff available on the Disney Parks blog and other thing. And I'm sure that we'll find out even more, by the time it debuts, but, very excited for that. So I will be watching opening day. Yeah. So very excited.
Vanessa?
Well, I don't even, you know, acknowledge parades unless they are at nighttime, but you know, I guess it's exciting, but I mean, nighttime, that's what we need, a nighttime parade. If we don't get it for the 50th, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to be waiting a really long time.
Vanessa's going to make her own parade down Main Street, USA.
It is possible.
Yep. Let's see.
All the glow sticks.
The glow sticks.
Couple more stories that I want to do, maybe in just kind of a rapid fire kind of a way here, but wanted to make note that Disney is increasing their number of impossible products. So impossible products are grass made and veggie made burgers, and there's also hot dogs, there's chicken, there's all sorts of impossible products. And I just think I wanted to just note this because I think it's cool that really, if you haven't been to Disney World and you're planning a trip, there's no better place to be able to find something for everyone to eat there, regardless of the food allergy, regardless of whether or not you're a vegetarian or vegan, a carnivore like myself, you can find something to eat at Disney World. And so, Vanessa, just any comments on the inclusion of some additional vegetarian options, vegan options?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty cool. You know, I was listening to NPR, our affiliate station, and, you know, they had this story about how really to climate change. Oh, hope I'm not in. We will have to stop eating so much meat.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
let's see.
We lost Vanessa.
9:25. She'll be back, so, maybe.
Brett,
yes.
We'll go to you. What do you think about the inclusion of so many vegetarian, vegan-friendly options?
Well, I think that's great because I think they've had an unfortunate bad rap, or basically theme parks in general sometimes have a bad rap. Well, they only have our hamburgers and, you know, hot dogs and all this. Well, you haven't been to a Disney park in quite some time, if that's all you think, because there are so many options. So now there's these alternative foods, which I can't wait to try, actually. Whenever that happens, I guess whenever I go next, I'm going to make sure that I give that a try. But actually, well, there is a new restaurant at Epcot. Yes, Regal Eagle Smokehouse, Craft Drafts and Barbecue, which is now open. So they have vegan options as well. And I did take a look at some video of that from the Tim Tracker, which Vanessa, you know, you love them. So, and they had the burger that looked really good. So I can't wait to try that. So, and the whole restaurant looks so cool. Oh, the other thing, Vanessa, you've got to love this, because in the courtyard there, they have a smoker that I understand is not up and running right now, but it will be used to smoke all of those turkey legs that you love so much.
I love turkey legs.
Turkey legs across property right there in front of the American Adventure. So exciting.
That's right.
I am happy. That makes me very happy.
Our last story is the Chewy mode. We found out that Smuggler's Run, much like a cheat code on a Super Nintendo, has a secret code that you can do to unlock. Instead of Hondu, it'll be Chewy all the way through your ride. I haven't experienced Smuggler's Run yet, so Brett, talk to me about this. And if you think that this is a cool thing to do, it's obviously like a very special thing that Disney has wired into the system. Took several months for someone to figure this out.
Really? It took several months for that to be figured out, or it took a weekend for that to be released, shall we say, to some Disney fans? I don't know, but that's kind of what I'm thinking, because it just happened to, yeah, magically appear. But anyway,
that's right.
That's what's so cool about. And I don't know if this is it in Disney World yet, but it is at Disneyland, which is, you know, for the locals there, and you know they need something new and exciting, which is cool about, you know, the programming of those types of attractions is they can do little special things every so often. So I'm sure we're bound to get even more of them. But apparently you have to have like all six crew members in on the game. So you do what you're supposed to, but I definitely want to give that a try. But I have been fortunate enough to try Smuggler's Run at Disneyland during the D23 Expo experience and then at Walt Disney World. And it was great. They're both. And I can't wait to try the whole Chewy hack or whatever it's called. But yeah
it's
I did find
it
funny.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm like going, all of those Disney fan YouTube and other social media just happened to figure it all out all on the same weekend. So, but whatever it takes, I'm like going, it's a cool thing. I'm excited about it. So
there's a new board game coming out. And I know Vanessa is super, super duper pumped for this board game. My wife will be too. There is a Hocus Pocus board game. So this begs the question, we might have to do like a live play-in or something when you get this, right, Vanessa? Go ahead and tell me all about the Hocus Pocus board game.
There are two board games, actually,
Craig. There are two
Craig,
board games, yes.
That are coming out. There's the Hocus Pocus board game, which I'm so excited about. And there's also the Jungle Cruise